3, 2, 1, we're live! Welcome, I'm Megan.
And I'm Danielle.
And this is Crime and Roses.
And we are a true crime and bachelor franchise recap podcast.
Hey Danielle!
Hey girl!
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing like
She's dancing. She's a little shoulder dance.
I was just gonna say a little shoulder dance, a little shoulder shimmy.
Little shoulder shims.
Oh my gosh. I'm doing good. I had some things I wanted to tell you today.
Ooh,
Not bad things, just good things.
Okay, good. I'm not in trouble, right? Okay, great.
You're in trouble. You've been naughty.
Ooh, in a good way?
Spanking? A little spanking?
I don't know. Mom's going to hate that. Sorry, Mom.
Your mom's going to be like, ugh. It's disgusting.
She's going to be like, Megan.
Before we get started, I did want to say we have 2 new people on Patreon.
Hey, friends.
Allison and
Emma. I'm just going to keep singing. Hey, baby.
Oh, I liked the first one and I didn't say anything and then you kept going.
Well, because I'm going to sing to all of our new Patreons, okay? It's a new feature.
You've seen New Girl, right?
I have.
So every time I see an Allison, I think, Allison. Like when he got engaged. When Winston got engaged to Allison, like every time I see the name, Allison and Emma.
So we're doing the dance. Allison and Emma.
And Emma.
You can't be forgotten from the song, honey.
Mm-mm. But I did want to say some people had reached out on social media and I wanted to reiterate, they were super sweet to reach out because we had put a poll up about like, hey guys, we want to like improve the podcast. And some people were like, I don't have money to join Patreon or, you know, contribute to the podcast financially, but I want you to know I love it. Oh, we feel you. We totally
love that first and foremost. Thank you.
Thank you for reaching out. There are ways that you can support us that are non-monetary, which you can tell a friend about our podcast. That's literally how we have grown, is by word of mouth. And you can always rate and review us on Podchaser if you're an Android user, and Apple if you're an iPhone person, not like me. Like, you can share our posts to your stories. There's ways that you can, you know, help support us that do not cost money. So do not feel tempted. I know every time we're on here, we're like, these are new Patreons, but like, if you want to, you know, give in to the peer pressure and join, you definitely have some benefits.
We understand and thank you.
If you can't for some reason, like, don't
feel... We understand and thank you.
Basically. We still love you, mean it, either way.
We really do. We really do. You're just listening to this. We love you, mean it, for that, so.
Girl. So me and my son watched... It's... I'm, like, gonna have a moment.
Is this another show that I have to add to my list, or...
You should have watched All the Boys That I've Loved Before.
I haven't seen it, but go on.
Oh, well, okay, so my son's in this age where, like, he's 13, so, like, you can't watch... Sorry. He's at this age where you can't watch, like, kiddie shit, but you can't watch adult stuff. And I was talking to my husband about it, and he was like, yeah, he's at this age where they're either teaching you how to count or cut crack.
There are 2 types of shows.
Because we were watching Riverdale and they're like, oh, jingle jangle and everybody's fucking. And I was like, ooh. Like, I don't want to always have to say close your eyes. So I would say for him, we watched All the Boys That I've Loved Before with Noah Centini, I think his name is.
He's cute.
Cute as fuck. I did have to look him up. Like, I hope he's grown because I don't want to be swooning over this child. But he is. He's definitely grown.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And we watched it together, and it was really nice, and we were talking about dating, and I was like, yeah, do you want, like, a girl? Do you think you're going to have a girlfriend? He was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to have a girlfriend. And I said, or a boyfriend, and he was like, no, it'll be a girlfriend. And I was like, but I just want you to know, if it's a boyfriend, that I still love you, and I'm never going to not love you based on who you love. And he was like, oh, like, he was like, I always get it, and I appreciate that. And we were watching Pose, and, you know, like, we were watching Pose, and this guy was getting kicked out of his house because he was gay, and he was like, he just was like, you would never do that. You would never do that.
And you're like, correct. Like, accurate.
You're right. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't believe people would kick their children out. And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. To this day, people are still doing that.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was nice to, like, kind of watch some things that...
That's really sweet.
Yeah, like, it seems like we connected, and it's hard. He's 13, so, like, we just don't...
You had a little mom and son moment.
Yeah, we don't... While my husband was on the couch fucking snoring like a grizzly bear. Oh, God.
Well, it wasn't a moment for him, okay? It was your moment.
we kept nudging him, my husband, and being like, hey, do you want to, like, order some food? And he'd be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, can I get a new pair of shoes? And he was like, mm-mm. Like, everything that had anything about spending money, he was like, mm-mm. So we were, like, recording him, like, trying to get him to say yes to, like...
Trying to trick him into stuff. Yeah.
We're like, do you want to go walk the dogs tomorrow? And he was like, mm-hmm. Like, half sleep, mm-hmm. We're like, can we order this movie on, you know, HBO? Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. Even asleep, he's aware.
He's still That's aware. Scary, honestly. I know, it really is. You can't, like, catch him off guard. Mm-hmm. Do you want any more?
Keep working on it.
I'm working on it. Do you want any more TV movie suggestions, or are you overwhelmed?
I mean, I just always expect them from you. So, I come ready with a list and my outtake pen.
Okay.
For any suggestions that you may have. Okay. You don't have to bring them, is what I'm saying. I just am always ready to receive them.
I watched Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. I mm-hmm. just picked a show. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I was up at 4 a.m. like, holy shit, this is good. It's like I don't know even how to explain it. I see the pen.
I'm putting this under my other notes from that interview that we just recorded.
I know, right? There were notes from that too. There's like lots of things we need to deep dive on, y'all. But I watched Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. It was trending. I was talking about peer pressure. Whenever things are trending, like, my husband's like, what should we watch? Whatever the rest of the nation is watching, pick, look.
I want to know what these people are talking about over here.
Yeah. What's top 10? That's what we should be watching.
Bridgerton. That's what's still top 10.
It is. It was number 10. My husband's like,
it's not the most watched show on Netflix.
Really?
Ever.
Like, ever?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, with good reason.
Absolutely.
It's a great show. Great show.
So, yeah, Behind Her Eyes is, like, mystery? It's mystery. Mm-hmm. It has twists and turns that I was not fucking... I was like, oh, this is how this story is gonna go. And when it was over...
And that's not how the story went?
I felt like I just got hit by a Mack truck. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because I did not expect all that.
Okay. So I will add it to my list.
I also have been listening to Always Chime for True Crime. She did a story on Lynn Harper and Stephen Truscott, which is like a three-parter, but she did not put out the parts like very far in between. But it's basically about this 14-year-old who was convicted of murder, and then, like, it just makes you so angry. Like, the whole fucking, it's like a Canadian story, and the whole entire fucking time I was like, but that's not, the evidence didn't, where the fuck did you get that from? Like, the evidence did not point to that. Like, so that's also a good three. I'll put the links in the show notes.
Okay.
Like, I'll put a trailer for Netflix, and I'll put the link for Always Time for True Crime. She's really great. She does it 30 minutes. She's by herself, so there's, like, not a lot of banter like we're doing now. And she just gets into it, and it's organized well. And I love her accent when she says, about. About. Your eyeliner looks great.
Thank you.
I see the little wing.
Thank you.
And I like how you have a watch with, like, bracelets combined with it. It's very trendy.
Thank you. Two of these are from
David. Do you have to say thank you like that? Thank you. Like, yeah, every time
thank
I...
Y'all.
Thank you.
Because I channel Victoria Fuller, actually, when I do that.
Do not bring up that woman ever again. Bitch.
These two are from David. Mm-hmm. This one is... It's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg little face, and it says, I dissent on it.
Cute.
And... Right? That was from this Christmas. And then this is from last Christmas. It's a heart with a M initial on it. And then this one, I found at one of my favorite consignment stores. It looks like David Yurman, but I bought that shit for $4. So
you always are talking about this damn consignment store. You know I don't like that shit.
It's sustainable.
I like it,
but
I
get a discount.
I can't go find it because you bought it consignment.
Well, it sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you ready to jump in?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going first. Dibs.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't going to fight you,
but... I'm telling you what we are doing. I'm taking command of this ship.
Oh, we basically talked about this off pod, and figured out what it was.
Can you let me have my moment, please?
Okay, sorry. My bad.
Thank you.
God. Yeah, no. Yes, you're the captain now.
I'm the captain.
So this is actually a one-story episode. Danielle's episode will be coming out tomorrow, so check that out too. But here we go. Hey friends! This episode is sponsored by Podcorn!
Yay!
This ad goes out to all of our podcaster friends, or if you are thinking about starting your own podcast.
Definitely should.
Podcorn is super easy to use, and it can be used by podcasts of any size, big, medium, small. Essentially, when you sign up, you see a long list of companies or even other podcasts who are looking for ad sponsorships on your podcast. So you can easily see what they're looking for, what kind of ad they want. Maybe they want a review of their product. Anything like that. Then you submit, you type up this quick little proposal, tippity-type to the sponsor. You set your own rates and you work with that brand directly. Podcorn does not act as a middleman for any of that.
I think my favorite part about it is that you get to pick things that are on brand for your podcast.
Yes.
So you want to pick things that are going to match your audience, and you can, you know, decide to like sign up for it. You can decide to decline some, but at the end of the day, like you have a certain feel for your podcast or what your podcast is going to be in your mind, and you get to find people that match that.
Exactly. My favorite part about it is that you don't give up any of the rights to your podcast or your brand, which actually goes in line perfectly with what you just said. You're in full control. It is you and your podcast, and you are in the driver's seat with these brands. So it's been super helpful for us here at Crime and Roses to connect with other brands for sponsorships. You've probably heard some of our other ads. Their support team has been incredible to us personally. So we did connect with a brand through the platform and then later realized that the brand did not align with our personal values and our brand as Crime and Roses. So we reached out to Podcorn Support, just a quick message, and they were able to help us dissolve that partnership really easily. Anyway, I could go on, but I can't talk about them enough. If you're a podcaster or you're thinking about starting your own podcast, check out Podcorn today. The website is www.podcorn.com. This will be in the show notes. Again, big thank you to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode.
Love you, mean it.
So, I don't know if you know, but there's been a lot going on in Bachelor Nation the last couple of weeks. And today's case is related to all of that. If you're just here for the true crime and you're not a Bachelor fan and you need a summary, we will drop a link in the show notes so you kind of get what I'm hinting at. But last week, we published an episode that was all about the background of Forsyth County, Georgia, where Rachel, who's one of the front runners of the show, is from. And she is now a member of the Final Four. So as I was talking about the Forsyth County episode with people online, somebody brought this case to my attention. And she said, you need to look into this case. So thank you, Rachel Brewer, in Brett's Bachelor Buds group. Thank
yes, you, appreciate it. Rachel, the Rachel we like. Not that other.
Yes. So this is the 2018 death of Tamla Horsford.
No. Was that in Forsyth County?
Mm-hmm. She was in Cumming.
I've heard of this story, and now it's all making sense, seeing as though that's where mm-hmm. this happened. Tell me mm-hmm. all of it mm-hmm. now.
So I'm going to start this out with two quotes from the family's attorney on this case, the Horsford family attorney. The first one is, I have come to the conclusion that the truth never had a chance here. Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
And did the second, it say dun, dun, dun in the quote?
Yes, I read it verbatim. Okay, you're good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. The second quote says, my years of experience led me to believe that 80% of cases where African Americans die under mysterious circumstances end up closed or cold because there are no videos and the only witnesses are bad guys or good guys that deep down are really bad. Then you have cases where law enforcement does a poor job and cares little to investigate thoroughly because of some connection or association to the perpetrators. Take the Ahmaud Arbery slaying recently. Without the video surfacing in the media, there would never have been an arrest in the cozy relationship between the perpetrators, prosecutors, and the investigators.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of a great backdrop for this case. I will say that this case is currently ongoing, and I, for one, have a lot of questions about this case, and I'm not saying that anyone in this case is definitely involved in this woman's death. There's just a lot going on here.
Don't sue us. Thank you.
Please. So, sources real quick. Wikipedia, a Rolling Stone article by Niall Capello, and a lot of it, 11 Alive media coverage, who is an Atlanta Metro news station.
Yes.
Some coverage by Linda Kincaid and Jay Plyburn. So, appreciate that. So, last week I did a deep dive on Cumming and Forsyth County, Georgia. So, I'm not going to go that deep for right now because I already did all that. If you want to hear all of that, go listen to that episode. It's episode 75.
Link will be in the show notes.
Yes. But just as a reminder, Forsyth County and Cumming are about 30 miles north of the city of Atlanta. And Cumming is the only incorporated town in Forsyth County. Those are really just the things you need to know. So, we're going to do notable people.
We didn't do notable people last time.
We did not.
Oh, I'm excited.
I was unintentionally saving it for this story.
Yes. I think there was okay. So much going on. It was like, we don't have time for this. Let's talk about slavery. Exactly. Let's talk about racism. Let's talk about Oprah. It was a lot.
Exactly. That's a lot in that case. From Forsyth, including Cumming, Zac Brown.
Like Zac Brown Band?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. I don't know what they do, but I've heard the name. I think it's a white man with some brown people behind
with
him.
With a beard. Mm-hmm. White people behind him as well. Yeah. So they're a country band.
No, what about the black guy? The black guy who's the country singer now.
That's Darius Rucker. He was in Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's not the same thing?
No, this is called the Zac Brown Band. And that's called Hootie and the Blowfish.
And the Hootie and the Blowfish did not become the Zac Brown Band?
Nope. And it didn't happen the other way around either.
I think Zac Brown has a portion, like a little eatery in the Hawks Arena.
Which is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why I know it. Go ahead.
Okay. So they are a Grammy Award winning country group. You may know some of their songs. Chicken Fried, Knee Deep, Toes in the Water, Colder Weather, As She's Walking Away.
Chicken Fried, Cold Beer on a Friday.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm really proud of you. Please don't sue us, Zach. We love you.
I went to school in North Dakota. Thank you.
Highway 20 Ride, Sweet Annie, whatever it is, Keep Me in Mind. I have seen them at maybe twice.
Really? In oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
I am a fan of their music.
It
hits me in my soul. Mm-hmm. We also have Kelly Giddish, who you would recognize as Detective Amanda Rollins on Law & Order SVU.
She's from here? The blonde one, right?
The blonde one. Mm-hmm.
Shit.
And her character, Amanda Rollins, is also from Georgia. On the show.
Okay.
Amanda Rollins was a part of the Atlanta Police Department as her character arc. Mm-hmm. We have Ron Reese. I added this just for you.
Okay.
He's a former world championship wrestler, also known as the Yeti.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, I don't know who Ron Reese is, but the Yeti sounds familiar.
Yeah, my notes say clearly this was for Danielle. He lives in Cumming now. He's originally from California. And we have Skylar Day. Okay, I didn't know the name either, but I've seen these shows. She is an actress and a singer. She played Maggie Ritter on the Teen Nick series Gigantic and Amy Ellis on the NBC series Parenthood.
I love Parenthood.
Yeah, it's a good show. So, now that we're past the fun, I have to get to the sad. So, I do want to talk about Tamela Horsford a little bit. So, Tamela was 40 at the time of her death in 2018. She was born Tamela Anana St. Jor, and she was born on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines in 1978. She and her family moved to the Bronx when she was about 11 years old. And she married a man named Leander Horsford. She met him in Florida. She was the mother of 5 boys.
5 boys came out of her vagina.
Yes. And she was a bonus mom to Leander's daughter from a previous relationship.
Oh, so now, like, literally this one girl has, like, 5 brothers to look out for her.
At the time of her death, Tamela's youngest son was only 4 years old. I know.
You lost his mommy.
I know. And Tamela and Leander and the family moved to Georgia in about 2013. And her obituary calls her a beautiful soul and truly an angel on earth. Friends refer to her as a beam of light a super mom.
Can I tell you a little story real quick?
Yeah.
Real fast. Just to cut my anxiety with the sad part. I was talking to Kelsey, our friend Kelsey, and I don't remember how this conversation came up, but I was like, if somebody comes to my funeral talking about she lit up a room, they a motherfucking lie. I didn't light That's up true. No motherfucking room. I'm rude as hell. I'm real and I'm rude. And Kelsey was saying, she's like, I'm going to go up there and talk about how you were just a joy. You were absolutely the sweetest person to your core. And I was like, everybody in that room going to be like, is she talking about Danielle?
Are we at the right service?
She talking about that Danielle?
Does she not know her?
She not know her very well? I said, my mom's going to be like, she said Kelsey was one of her really good friends. Why is she lying up here at her funeral?
Kelsey seems confused.
Kelsey, is she on drugs? Because Danielle... Doesn't all those things that you said about Tamla
are false?
Are all those things about her true, and all those things about me are a motherfucking lie? So don't come to my funeral lying. Like, tell, I was rude and I was real. I was real and I was rude.
Tamla is also referred to by friends as the life of the party. She loved to dance and laugh and have a good time. She was super charismatic, and her smile was stunningly beautiful. I can see why people say she lit up a room. I get it. So, on November 3rd, 2018, around 8:30, Tamla went over to a friend's house. It's Jean Myers. And there's a bunch of women coming over to Jean's house. And the pictures say, like, 9 or 10 women. And there's also 2, maybe 3 men at this party. And it's Jean's birthday party. And they're having, like, a girls' night in. Sources call it, like, an adult super party. A slumber party. Super party. Whatever. And in the Rolling Stone article, people who are interested in this case and reopening this case call the party goers the Forsyth 12. And because I talked about the history of Forsyth County and the nature of everything surrounding that, it is important to note that Tamla was a black woman and the rest of the party goers were white.
Is her husband white or black? Do we know?
I do know. He's black.
Oh, okay.
But he was not at the party.
I just was
wondering. Yeah. The Forsyth 12 is made up of 9 women and 2 men. And 8 of these 12 people were planning on staying the night at Jean's house. The other 4 were getting picked up or a different kind of situation. And all of these, the moms are all football moms. And so all of their kids are playing football together. So that's kind of how they bonded and met. You've mentioned your baseball moms from your son's baseball teams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
you get real tight because you're together. You do things together, fundraisers. I mean, just kind of, you're all sitting there waiting for practice to be over 3 or 4 days a week. So you kind of bond.
Yeah. And like I said, kind of a girls' night in, away from the kids and away from significant others. So Tamla brought to the party, she brought a bottle of tequila and super cute jammies and her overnight bag. And her jammies were like a white base jammie with like a dog print on them.
Oh, cute.
So the women spend the night upstairs in the house. They're drinking. They're watching college football. It's the LSU-Alabama game. And they're playing Cards Against Humanity. The two guys, one of them is... I love it.
They have a teenager game, too, which is good for,
Apples to Apples.
Oh, is that what that is? I literally got Cards Against Humanity, but it was, like, a younger version. Lots of farting.
Apples to Apples, yeah, is supposed to... Well, I think Apples to Apples came out first, but it's supposed to be a kid-friendly version of Cards Against Humanity as
That's a really good teenagery game as well, because, like, again, it's like we're not going to sit here and play... Hungry Hippo, but you can't play Cards Against Humanity.
So. Not yet.
No. I don't ever want him to play that game.
No, it's a messed up game, and I love it so much. And so the guys who were there, one of them was Jean's boyfriend, Jose Barrera, who I'll talk about in a second, but they were downstairs watching another football game in the basement. They're having a great time. Tamla goes outside to smoke a cigarette about 2:00 in the morning on the back balcony, and this balcony is about 20 feet off the ground.
So like a top balcony? Like not...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I think I think their basement was, like, a walkout basement where you could just walk out and be on the grass.
Okay.
And then, so that'd be, like, the first floor balcony or second floor balcony, something like that. So, and this balcony also has a railing that's about 4.5 feet tall. Just, like, a regular balcony.
Like, I guess, like, hip level, maybe? Well, no. Yeah. It's a little higher, I guess. It's a little higher. I'm only 5 feet tall.
Are you really that short?
No, I mean like 5'8".
Oh, okay. I was like, how tall have but my I'm shoes like five been when I've
something.
Been?
So I'm just like trying to picture how tall this, like, is it just like a normal, like, you know, hip area, stomach?
Yeah, I think it's like belly.
Like maybe belly.
Range.
Yeah.
Belly under boob range kind of space.
Okay.
And witnesses say that she also smoked pot at the party, but that Jean had asked her to stop. And in the Rolling Stone article, Jean's statements refer to Tamla as, quote, the female Bob Marley. Which, to me, as a white woman reading that, has microaggression, like, all the fuck over it. That.
It's like teeming. It's like dripping in microaggressions. Mm-hmm.
When Tamla goes outside to smoke on the balcony, that's the last time that she is seen alive. Mm. During the course of the investigation, timestamps from the house's security system are brought to light. So we kind of do know some timeline of when things happened. Mm-hmm. So around 11:30, two women leave the house through the front door and do not return. At 1:47 a.m., another woman leaves the house through the front door. She does not return. 11 Alive says that this woman was the last person to see Tamla alive, and says that this woman saw her in the kitchen. It was Bridget Fuller who saw her, and Bridget says that Tamla told her that she was going to eat a bowl of gumbo, smoke a cigarette, and then go to bed. At 1:49, 1:50, and 1:57, the back door by the balcony opens and closes several times. And presumably, this is Tamla going out for a cigarette. So at 1:49, it's opening. At 1:50, it's closing. And at 1:57, it is opening again.
Not closing right. again.
Not closing again. That I can, at least not that we can tell.
That sounds like, to me, like someone goes out, and then later someone then joins them.
I don't think you're wrong.
Continue.
Yeah. So at about 8:45 the next morning, Tamla is found lying face down, motionless under the porch, under the balcony space. And in this case, when I say face down, I mean her face is in the dirt and the grass. Her face is not, her neck is not turned to one side or the other, like kind of like you would expect.
Yeah. Because wouldn't you brace, like if you're falling and alert, then you would, like, brace yourself with your hands or something, or you would not be face first in the ground, right?
Or even, like, I mean, when you're sleeping, if you're sleeping on your stomach, your head is still turned to one side or the other.
Right.
You're not face down into the pillow.
No, because that's called death.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there, y'all. Don't sleep like that.
Don't do that. Her legs were extended. They were both pointing to the right of her body, and her right arm was close to her body. Her left arm was extended and bent at the elbow, so not, like you just said, not necessarily in a brace position. She was wearing the cute jammies that I mentioned that she was last seen in, and the woman who found her was Jean's aunt, who also lived in the house. And Jean's aunt's statement says that when she went to go tell Jean, she told Jean that something was, quote, wrong with her friend from the islands.
Microaggression. Also, did you not go check on her?
It looks like, from all the sources that I can tell, it looks like once Jean's aunt realized that something was wrong, she did not necessarily go check on Tamla. She went to go tell Jean first.
That's not what you do. You're like, oh my gosh, something's wrong, and then you go up to them.
The 911 call comes in about 15 minutes after Jean's aunt sees her.
15 minutes? Okay.
And Jean is the one who initially makes the call, but most of the call is actually done with her boyfriend, Jose Barrera. The call lasts about 8 minutes. He says she's stiff, she's not breathing. He can't see any blood, but he doesn't want to move her body. the 911 dispatcher has to repeatedly ask him to check to see if she's breathing. Jose mentions that he has only met Tamela once before this night, and actually didn't know her last name until somebody had to tell him what the last name was.
It's a little strange to mention that.
And says that Tamela was the last one awake, thought that she was either waiting for a ride to come pick her up, or she was doing a last couple things before going to bed. He says that there are cameras on the back deck. Later, we find out that the batteries on the camera out back were dead and therefore not recording. And at one point in the call, he refers to her as a black female, which feels very law enforcement-y to me. And like a very precise description. To say the words... Okay, so in the conversation, he's telling the dispatcher
Sorry,
her
I'm
name.
Making faces. That's why I'm making
She is, and that's why I'm...
Yeah, okay, just what... They're listening, and they're like, why is she... I'm like, because I'm making faces, and I'm confused. So say more, sis. I mean, because...
Say
I
more.
If you were to describe me, you'd be like, she's a black woman? Or she would...
Yes, and then, so black female feels very clinical, mm-hmm. in a sense, to mm-hmm. me. And I just think it's odd.
Megan, this don't look far enough for someone to die from a... Okay, I'm sorry.
It's about 20 feet. Mm-hmm. That's one of the questions that I have.
It doesn't look like you would die from that fall. You might be mauled, or you might be, like, severely hurt, but I'm sorry. I should know.
We'll get there.
Okay,
We'll get there.
I'm Googling things. I'm just very confused about all of this.
So, and at the time of the 911 call, Jose says that four people who were at the house last night during the party have left and are no longer at the house. And he also mentions to the dispatcher that he thinks that Tamela went outside to go smoke because he saw an unlit cigarette and a lighter out on the balcony. Jose moves those items before the police arrive, and because the police think that this is an accident, those items were never fingerprinted.
Who's handling this investigation?
I'm gonna tell you later.
Okay, thank you.
So... her death was ruled an accident by the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office and the medical examiner. And the medical examiner said that her death resulted from the fall from the balcony. Her toxicology report says that she had Xanax, marijuana, and alcohol in her system. Her blood alcohol content was 0.238. The legal limit to drive is 0.08, but she wasn't planning on driving anywhere. Mm-hmm. We know that she was at a party with friends, and when those things happen, more alcohol is generally consumed. None of the things in her toxicology report really surprised me. People at the party also say that she was not acting like she was in that intoxicated. Mm-hmm. Like tipsy, yes, having a good time, laughing, dancing, whatever, but not to the point of what a high BAC can do. And a blood alcohol content like at those levels can lead to blackouts, loss of coordination, and vomiting. So... one of the questions that a lot of people have brought forward with this case is, how does a woman with a blood alcohol content like that and basically no coordination get over a 4 to 4.5 foot railing?
That's what I'm saying, because it's like if we said it, we're at boob to like tummy, you don't accidentally fall off of a, it's not short enough. Like if it was at like your thigh and it's like, oh shit, I just like tumbled, like I don't think you fall off of a railing like that.
And having seen pictures of the balcony from a couple different angles, it's a nice balcony. It's a large balcony.
Yeah.
But it does not look like it has enough space for her to do like a running jump and a leap off of the balcony.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And one woman at the party, Stacy Smith, is confused about the fall theory. And in the Rolling Stone article, she talks about she's been on that deck a million times herself, and she just doesn't understand it. She thought that maybe Tamela leaned over the railing a little bit too far to vomit and kind of fell and went too far, but she still doesn't really...
I don't see that.
That doesn't sit well with her either.
I mean, I'm just looking at, like, the crime scene photos I've seen on social media. It's a regular-ass railing. It looks sturdy as hell. It doesn't look broken. It doesn't look messed up. I don't see myself leaning over this and then, like, leaning too far. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same thoughts. So the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, released the autopsy report. You want to hear about her injuries?
Yeah. Also, this house is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, it has, like, lights and fans, and it's two levels, and it basically covers the whole back of the house, and it's fucking stunning. And possibly for sale is what I'm seeing on social media. I'm sorry. I'm, like, going on a deep dive, because now I'm, like, you're telling me more than what I knew about this.
So, according to the report released by the GBI, her injuries include blunt force trauma to the head, neck, and torso.
Wait a minute. Neck and torso?
Those, I guess, could be from the fall, like the blunt force of the fall. Because it does, I don't have if it's to the back or to the side of the head or neck.
The thigh, though? Like blunt force trauma to her thigh or leg?
No, I said torso.
Torso. Okay, we don't know.
Yeah, and well, it does say extremities. So those could be from the fall. Those, I mean, they have more details than I do for sure. She also had abrasions on the face. She had four types of hemorrhages in the skull and in the brain. She had a dislocation of her right wrist, and she had cuts on her arms and her legs. She suffered a broken neck. And this one I have questions about. My mom teases me because I say I have questions a lot, but I do have questions. She had a laceration of the right ventricle of her heart.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's not typical in a fall.
I don't see why it would be, yeah. Unless something like, unless she fell on something.
But
right?
This is, but I'm, there's no I'm evidence that she fell on something. Yeah, it's just the ground underneath. There is not a stake, yeah. It's not a poker, it's not,
And so the lead investigator's initial thoughts were that she actually did not fall from the balcony, but rather she fell from the ground below, like from standing on the ground, face down into the ground. And then that's how she got some scrapes on her shins. And from like, there's a landscape edging that was down there that she could have like scraped her shins on. And that's how she fell. But he didn't change his initial theory until after the medical examiner reviewed and looked at her injuries that he even considered the balcony fall theory. And the medical examiner told him that these injuries that she sustained would not be consistent with a fall from the ground level, for sure. Which, I agree. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I don't think she could have gotten any of these things from standing on the ground,
yeah.
Like where the grass is, and falling.
So this theory and what you're talking about now is that she's standing on the ground level and just mm-hmm. falls straight forward, basically. And all mm-hmm. these... No, that doesn't make sense at all.
And in her autopsy, no sexual assault kit was done. And her fingernail clippings were not collected. Well, I have an answer for you. In a call with Rolling Stone, the GBI public affairs director explained that these steps are apparently not routine and weren't taken in this case because there was no indication of any foul play. The GBI's Division of Forensic Science also declined to test the contents of the bottle of tequila that she had brought with her that evening. The public affairs director explained that it's standard policy not to test for illicit substances when the possible suspect is deceased, as there would be nobody to hold accountable if they were to find drugs.
I'm gonna not say nothing.
So the case remained open for about 4 months until February 20th, 2019, when...
And nobody heard her fall? Like, if you're falling, nobody came outside to, like, close doors and, like, lock up for the evening? You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if I'm having a party, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, mm-hmm. everybody's going to sleep. Let me lock all the doors. Let me, like, check on everybody. Like, nobody checked on her? Because you said this is, like, 1 a.m., right? So from 1 a.m. to 8 p.m.?
About 2 now, yeah.
Yeah, but, like...
She's last seen by somebody about 1:45, yeah.
Okay, so from 2 to 8, 6 hours, nobody goes outside. Nobody checks on her. Nobody goes to say, like, hey, where's Tamla?
And so the case remains open for about 4 months until February 20th, 2019, when Major Perkins of the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office announced that he is closing the case because of no evidence of foul play. And the case didn't really get any real media attention until about 2 months after Tamla's death. And at that point, so this is about January 2019 at this point, one of the witnesses gets fired from his job Who was that witness? It was Jose Barrera, the boyfriend, and the 911 caller. So,
and he Jose... gets
Jose worked for the Forsyth County court system as a pretrial officer.
Now this black female thing makes a little more sense.
And he accessed the incident report from the county computers while on the job, and which is a huge no-no. And some people relate close to the case believe that Jose also leaked Tamla's personal information like height, weight, phone numbers, house address, driver's license information, and that he leaked that information. He denies that claim. In June of 2020, the Horsford family attorney, who is Ralph Fernandez, came forward and made a statement suggesting that Tamla was in fact murdered. So the family had a second autopsy done. And in this statement, he also thinks that law enforcement helped cover up the murder. He also raises multiple things in his statement. So he says that witness statements are conflicting. He says, potential subject handled the body as well as the evidence prior to law enforcement arrival. We know for a fact that Jose removed the cigarette and the lighter from the balcony before the police arrived.
That's not the thing I'm fucking thinking about while there is a whole ass dead woman at my house.
Who's friends with my girlfriend or myself.
I don't give a shit about the cigarette and the lighter. Or maybe he's like... maybe it's weed and he doesn't want to get in trouble.
The Horsford family claims that there are no photos that were taken of Tamla's body during the autopsy and says that this is likely done at someone's direction because...
isn't that standard?
Yes. And because it's not heard of to not take photos in an autopsy. So GBI and the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office have responded to that point particularly. They say that there were autopsy photos taken, but they never received a release of the photos. Okay. And so apparently this release would come from Tamla's next of kin. Ralph Fernandez also says, quote, it appears Tamla was involved in a struggle. There were abrasions noted that were consistent with that scenario. There were parallel scratches on one arm, which could be from someone's nails. He also alleges that one of the potential subjects is close with the subject of the investigation. So, as I talked about last week, Forsyth County is a small town, basically. It's like small town America. So, and the Rolling Stone article lays this the fuck out. Mm. So, they say that the current deputy coroner, whose name is Chris Shelton, he had to resign from a different police department after photos of him with mammy dolls came to light. Mammy dolls, for listeners who may not know, are dolls that are created to look like stereotypical mammies, like the Gone with the Wind character, who says, I don't know nothing about birth and no babies, or like the imagery of Aunt Jemima. It's the imagery of the black enslaved woman who's in charge of taking care of the kids of the enslaver's family. So those photos come to light in 2014. And then 2 years later, in 2016, he's campaigning for Ron Freeman, the current sheriff of Forsyth County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Ron Freeman wins his election, he places Chris as the deputy coroner. Chris Shelton, the deputy coroner, also has a side job where he works for an organization called Operation 21. And this organization works with offenders and they are working to reduce recidivism. Awesome. That organization is owned by a man named Brian DeBloy. Brian and his wife, Anna, are friends with people at the party where Tamla died.
Mm.
And sources say that Chris Shelton, the deputy coroner, did not work on Tamla's case, but you can certainly see why eyebrows have been raised. And... there's just, and I'm sure there's even more connections than just that, because it is such a small town. But there's so many unanswered questions in this case. After the statement by the attorney came out, lots of renewed interest came out around the case, understandably. T.I., 50 Cent, Gabrielle Union, Kim Kardashian, they all got involved with advocating for this case to be reopened. it's my understanding that this case has been reopened by the GBI and it's currently under investigation. Rolf Fernandez, the attorney who made these statements, is actually pushing for the FBI to take the case instead of the GBI, just because it's the GBI was already working on the case and it's a little bit too close. This case, I think, will stick with me personally for a while until we have some answers. Of course, we can't say for certain that Tamela Horsford was murdered, because there's just not enough information at this point. But I can say for certain that her family deserves some answers, and they deserve to know what happened to her that night. And if and when anything comes of this case, I'll let you know.
Oh boy. It just seemed, one, I guess the two things that stick out in my mind that I can't let go of is the timestamp of the door opening and knowing that it opened at 1:49 and then 1:50. Like, she comes out and at 1:57, it's opened.
Yeah.
Like, who else came out? Mm-hmm. That's what it says to me.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the thing, it's just, you think you're among friends. I just can't imagine me and my really, really good friend being at a party and I go to bed without, like, knowing where they're at or, you know, what's going on or checking on them or being like, I just can't see, or leaving. Like, if I think I had read that the friend who left was like her closest friend in this big group of people, mm-hmm. you know, I just can't see myself being like, okay, I'm gonna go. Like, it's just one of those things when you're a friend, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go, you're coming with me. And when your friend's like, no, I wanna stay, I'm having a good time, you're like, well, I'll stay too. Or you're coming with me, let's go.
Yeah.
Because you would think you're amongst friends. There's something about her being there from 2 to almost 8 o'clock in the morning. And, like, no one heard anything. No one saw anything. Yeah. And, like, why is the boyfriend, like, accessing these documents? You know what I mean? I don't know. Very interesting.
So, and again, for the record, we are not accusing anyone of participating in her death. It's just a mysterious case that needs to have some answers.
Very mysterious.
Yeah.
Thanks,
man. And that is the 2018 mysterious death of Tamela Horsford.
Very mysterious. Somebody knows something.
Yeah. Whether they know it or not, that they know something, yeah.
Somebody knows something, but they don't know if that's significant or not. Maybe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we're going to do this episode in two parts. So you're not here listening to a 5-hour long episode, because mine is kind of in depth. So definitely it'll be literally, as you're listening to this tomorrow, you will see it on the feed and you will be able to listen to it. So that'll be my part of the story from week 6. I think it's week 6.
7.
From week 7. I'm going to talk or relate my story to Abigail and the deaf community.
Interesting.
Very.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Crime and Roses. Thanks for tuning in. Big shout out and thank you to our producer, audio engineer, tech support guru, and Danielle's bestie, David Velik. You can find him on Instagram at David Velik. That's DavidVelik. And at keylightmedia.com, KeylightMedia.com.
And you can also connect with us via social media. We're on Twitter at Crime and Roses, at CrimeAndRoses. We do live tweet during the Bachelor franchise shows. And if you use the hashtag Crime and Roses, we'll pick the tweet of the week and mention you on the show. You can also follow us on Instagram at Crime and Roses and send us your favorite memes and we'll repost them. Like, follow, and join the discussion on Facebook. And lastly, you can email us at crimeandroses@gmail.com. Send us your crime suggestions, also any questions and comments you may have. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on using your favorite podcatcher.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.